verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20.
Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah.
Stop there. I just want to introduce Noah. Why Noah being introduced here? Because of the type or the figure or the pattern which Noah's salvation represented, pointing to our salvation. Noah is introduced because he and his family's salvation, inspiration wants us to know, is just like our salvation. In Noah's salvation, the element of water played a very important part. In our salvation, that same element is playing an important part. Baptism is not the figure the passage referred to. Mm-hmm. Read again, Brother Webb or whoever, any of your brothers.
Which sometime were disobedient.
Which sometime were disobedient.
When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water.
Read on.
The like figure,
baptism. You see, it's easy for you and for me to think that the figure is baptism. And many people gone to France with that. There are many churches out there who said, there it is, baptism is just a figure. You see. Baptism is not the figure here. What is the figure? It's Noah's salvation.
Yeah, right.
That is how God saved Noah. That is the figure under consideration. Baptism. Well, let me back up. Noah's salvation was the type. Our salvation is the anti-type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Noah's salvation was the shadow.
Yeah.
Our salvation is the reality.
Yeah.
So the figure under consideration is Noah's salvation. Baptism is the reality or the anti-type, which was symbolized by the salvation of Noah. What we are going to do now is look at, it should be six or seven, but I think today I'll have time only to deal with two or three. That is, let me say, six, but where I reach today, I reach next week, we pick up on the other four or three or four. That is, the six ways by which the salvation of Noah and his family prefigured our salvation. One, Remember, the important element here is water. And the passage that was just read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 21 is showing how the salvation of Noah and his family dependent on water. Our salvation is dependent on water. In the sense that the Almighty God tied himself, limited himself to water in our salvation, as he did in Noah's salvation. There is nothing any man or woman can do today to get rid of the water in his or her salvation if you are depending on God to save you. Nothing. All the argument, all the rationalization, all the reasoning will not make God exempt you from having to deal with water in your salvation. So one, it was the water of the flood that separated Noah's family from the disobedient generation that perished. That's what made the difference. The water of the flood, where the Almighty God used the water and the boat to keep his obedient people alive, not being destroyed, and use the same water to destroy the faithless and the disobedient antediluvian world. Not only that, not only God used water to save Noah and his family, it is the same way that the water of Christian baptism now separated between those who are saved and those who are perished. I said those who are perished, yes. The disobedient men and women. And if you are here today as a visitor, you are welcome. We're glad to have you. If you are not a Christian, be mindful that you are perishing spiritually. That's a fact. That's God's fact. Not mine. I'm only telling you because God wants me to tell you. You are perishing. You are on a road. You are in practices. You are following a path that's going to lead to eternal punishment. What did I say about the water? It is the same water that the Christian baptism now separated between those who are saved and those who are disobedient and are perishing. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21.
The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Notice the phrase, doth also now save us. What is striking, it is the present tense.
Yeah.
Doth also now save us. Baptism is saving us. Mm-hmm. That's the meaning of that. the inspired writer Peter did not say has saved us. That of course would be the present perfect tense. He used the continuous present tense. That is, brothers and sisters, it now saves us. Are we all there? That is, baptism is saving us now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Baptism brings the prospective convert into the state of salvation as no other act of obedience does.
Brother Mitchell, you need to repeat that. Thanks for asking.
Baptism brings the prospective convert in the state or the condition or the atmosphere of salvation in ways that no other act of obedience does. That's why the Bible says baptism saves us now. That is, remember, each time you hear the word baptism, it's about water. And why we have all this is the inspired writer showing how Noah's salvation was dependent and the water of the flood. Our salvation is dependent on the water of baptism. Secondly, Noah and his family were born. Did I say born? Yes, B-O. Are any born, Sata, carried through the flood for a period of 9 months. That's how long Noah and his family were in the boat, 9 months.
But watch here.
After having spent that 9 months in the ark, Noah came forth from the flood to live again on earth. That is, after having spent a full 9 months in water. Did I say he was born? Yes. He was carried. But that being carried represents safety. He was carried by the water. And for 9 months, the water carried that boat. That was God's doing. So in like manner, we are told in the book of St. John chapter 3, verse 5, that we are born of water. Let us hear the passage.
Jesus answered. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Remember, we point out that Noah and his family was born, carried by water. Here Jesus Christ tells us that every prospective convert must be born of the water. That Jesus Christ used, you must be born again, use
the imperative must is telling us that there is no escape, the water. When you deal with men and women you are trying to bring to Christ and they argue down water, help people to understand. Say, look here. The personalities who are involved in our salvation is man and God. Man's sin without God's provision, man is heading for eternal destruction. But the Almighty God in His grace reach out to us in making the great sacrifice in sending Jesus Christ to Calvary to pay the price for our sin that we could not pay. Wait. Help men to understand that you and I don't tell God how you want to be saved. That, you see, that doesn't come in. It's idioticness. When I want to tell God, this is the way I would like to be saved, God. You don't do that. You are the sinner. God is the one who was offended. But because He loves you, He's reaching out to you by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wait. In reaching out to you, He tells you how He will forgive you. The terms, the condition, the what, the whereof. You don't go telling God how you want to be saved. Oh my God. You ever go to the doctor and tell the doctor what kind of medicine you want? Don't think of it. Huh? You go to the doctor examines you, and the doctor determines what medicine is the proper treatment for your condition. Wait. You taste it and you went back to, me like how the medicine tastes, doctor. The doctor will tell you that's the one you'll have to take if you are going to get better. With the Almighty God, it is even more so. And we need to help men and women know you can't fight against the condition God laid down and ever expect to stand before the Almighty God. The water. Yes, in the same way play that important part in our salvation, it is playing that important part in our salvation. Thirdly, the same water which destroyed the faithless, disobedient, antediluvian was the very same water which bore up the ark and saved Noah and his family. You think it is logical, the way we think, that God would say, well, since I used this water to kill those disobedient, rebellious sinners, I don't want the same water to have anything to do with my servant's salvation. God used the same water. The very same water that God used to destroy the people was the very same water which kept the ark afloat. The ark which saved Noah and his family, placing them into a cleansed world and a new life. That's God's doing. Wait. The same baptism which is said to save the
obedient Christian. Are we all there? And saving us now is the same baptism that will witness against and condemn those who rebel against baptism, those who belittle baptism, those who reject baptism, those who despise baptism. It is the same baptism that men and women despise, reject, ridicule, that going to condemn them on the day of judgment. Look at John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, 48. Another brother turned to the book of Acts 22, 16. Romans 6, 17 through 18. Acts 2, 38. We are looking at baptism that men often criticize. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the same baptism that men and women reject, rebel against, ridicule, despise, same baptism going to stand against them and condemn them. Let us hear the passage.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Everybody here, what going to judge us on the last day? The words are the teachings of Jesus Christ. Is baptism a part of that teaching? Yes. We are going to some passages now that will emphasize baptism. But never forget these words of Jesus Christ, that the words that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge you on the last day. Look now at Acts 22, 16.
And now. Why tarriest thou?
Why wait?
Arise and
get up. Baptized. It's not time to wait. It's time to get up.
And be baptized.
And get baptized.
And wash away thy sins.
And wash away your sin.
Calling on the name of the
calling
Lord.
Calling on the name of Jesus Christ. You know, this is a very plain passage. Paul was there praying and think he could pray himself into salvation. No, you have to obey. Get up. Get baptized. Have your sins dealt with. But listen, Romans chapter 6, 17 through 18.
But God be thanked.
God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
You were the slave of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
You see, obedient is important. You have obeyed from the heart.
That form of doctrine which was delivered to you.
Read on.
Being then made free from sin.
Wait. I always like to emphasize the point where inspiration is pinpointing the very moment we were freed from sin. It is the moment when we obey the form. But watch here, that the form is stated in the same Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 5. You see, so the brother is reading same Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. Verse 17 through 18. And it's told them that whereby they were once slave of sin, but they have obeyed from the heart that form.
As I've often explained, for these beams to come out like that, you have to make a wooden form and mix up the concrete and pour in the wooden form. When the concrete set, it comes out looking like the wooden form. Well, we have to obey the form. What is the form? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we obey that, we come out looking like Christ. Let us hear, brother, from verse 3, quick.
Know ye not?
Don't you know?
That so many of us,
that is as many of us.
As we're baptized in
as we're what?
As we're baptized.
That's water, you know, brother. As we're baptized
into Jesus Christ.
Notice these words, into. You are baptized into Christ. Eh? Uh-huh.
We're baptized into his death.
You're baptized into Christ.
To his death.
Wait, Mr. Mitchell, I don't understand all of that. It's easy to understand. Jesus' blood was shed in his death. You have to get in his death to benefit from his blood. The only way that can be done is a spiritual way or symbolically. When you repent and get baptized, you die to sin. Baptism is a burial. You are buried with Christ. And you come from the water to walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
That is all what is being played out in these passages. So the form that they obey, as stated in verse 17 and 18, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read up from you read verse 3, verse 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Notice, it's easy to overlook word like with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, it's the solidarity between the prospective convert and Jesus Christ. Wherefore, you are buried with him.
By baptism.
It is baptism that does it. How can anybody argue against baptism?
Yeah.
Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Repent and be baptized,
mm-hmm.
every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
for the remission of sins.
Here is that, the King James used the word remission. And the word simply means removal. Mm-hmm. That's what the word remission means. So what Jesus Christ is telling us in this passage, that when a man or woman repent on Christ's command, and get baptized, having received the proper teaching, that person's sin is removed. How much of it, Brother Mitchell? All of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, are you here today? You are 25 years old, and you have been held responsible, let's say, from you are 12 or 14 or 15. Well, those 12, 13, or 14 years of sinning, once you believe, repent, and get baptized, the Almighty God in Christ, through obedience, get rid of that sinful past. Every second of it. But notice, you're not going to be getting rid of those sins if you reject the condition set by Jesus Christ. It's impossible. One or two more passages. Let us hear
I'm trying to pick out from some of the passages. Let us hear 1 Corinthians 12:13.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles.
By one Spirit, that is, by the administration of the one Holy Spirit. Those of us who have become Christians were baptized in the one body, which is the Church of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
So you have to be baptized to get into Christ's church. Now, tie me. Romans 2:16 with 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Wait. We are coming down to the end of the lesson. In the days when
God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
You notice Paul personalized the gospel. Paul doesn't really have a gospel of his own. What he meant by my gospel is the gospel of Christ which he preaches. And he said, Jesus Christ is going to judge men by the gospel. Did you know that the facts of the gospel, if you are here as a visitor or as a member who have not been around long enough to know this, that the gospel carry some facts. Are we all there? The facts of the gospel, those essential which make the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So watch it. When Paul speaks in the passage just read, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, I'd said, no?
That's right.
Yes. About in the days when God shall judge the secret of men by my gospel, automatically the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is under consideration. Watch here now. And the same gospel, 2 Thessalonians, did I say chapter 1? Verse 6-9.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God.
Seeing that it is a righteous thing with God.
To recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
Wait. You know, have you ever given consideration to this passage? When you as a child of God, and that because you're a child of God, there are people who just put you through the mill in various ways, be it at the workplace, at home, in the family. They just make things difficult for you. And part of it is because you're a child of God. Listen to the passage again.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God.
It is a righteous thing with God to do what?
To recompense tribulation.
To recompense tribulation.
To them that trouble you.
Ladies and gentlemen, from time to time, I encourage Christians to be mindful. If you are a true child of God, you are precious to God. Please, don't throw the towel. If you are a true Christian, it matters not what you are going through. You are precious to God. The Bible says it is a righteous thing for God to pay back with tribulation the people who bring tears and whatever else to your eyes. But he's not finished.
And to you who are troubled.
And to you who are troubled.
Rest with us.
Rest with us, the Christian.
When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels
in flaming fire
taking vengeance
upon them that know not God
and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Did you know every time a man or a woman believe, repent, and get baptized, that person is reliving the gospel? I mean every time. And I'm saying to you today, you cannot escape. Not only that you cannot escape the gospel, if you are going to be saved, you cannot escape the water of baptism. Yeah. The Almighty God in his wisdom wanted it in the plan he has to save you. There's nothing you or I can do to get rid of the water. Laughing at it won't help. Criticizing it won't help. Rejecting it won't help. The Almighty God has an important place for water in your eternal salvation. Why fight it? You cannot save yourself. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. There is no way you can work out a way to be righteous which is different from Christ's way. Put another way, the only way you and I are going to be righteous is being obedient to the gospel. And Christ has water as a part of that plan. If you are here today, not a child of God, if you are here today, recognizing that you need to form a proper, obedient relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given you now. He never promised you the next day. Christ never promised you next week. He says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But always be mindful that if you are going to be saved, it will be Christ's way or you are not saved at all. We are here to help you right now, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you into his family. Come now believing that Christ died for you, love and cares for you enough. Come now repenting of your sin. Come now confessing your faith in Christ. Come now submitting yourself to be baptized for the removal of your sin. As we stand, Christ comes.